I think it's been 6 weeks in this one, maybe seven. It's been a long time, but there's a lot of information there, and some of it's redundant. And but hey, I didn't write the Bible, so, and if I wrote it, you wouldn't understand it. But God wrote the Bible. He spoke these words, and man was privileged to, by God, to write them down. I mean, God gave man that privilege. He didn't have to. So, for somebody to say that, oh, that's just man wrote that book. Man, that's something to say. That's something to say. You have to reject God completely to say that. But anyway, we'll go ahead and pray, and we'll get into the lesson. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for today. And hopefully today is the day that you come for this church, Lord, and your church, believers in Christ. And hopefully it's today, and we're waiting for that day, and we can't wait. It's what we're going to have to, but we pray for it to happen today. This world's a mess, Lord, and we know you're coming, and we pray that we would just keep watching, keep praying, Lord, for your return. And Father, we pray now that our hearts and our eyes and our ears will be open to your words today, and that we pray for those that are teaching and preaching this afternoon and this morning, that you would just be with them, Lord. And we need words from you. We need truth from you. We don't, of course, man's going to present it, but Lord, we have to get it from you, and we pray that we would do so. And leave the man out of it, whatever it is, and we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay, the context of Matthew chapter 24 here, verses 29 through 51, is immediately after the tribulation. Okay? As you read through 24, there's no revelation of the church age there, but there's revelation of a time before the tribulation starts, and then you see that in verses 1 through 6. And then you have the beginning of sorrows in verse 8, but it starts in verse 7. And then that's the beginning of sorrows. That's the start of the tribulation. And then in verse 15, you have the great tribulation, which is roughly going to be 3.5 years. The Bible's very specific about the days of that tribulation. And it's very specific about the days until Jesus comes back. And there's a 45-day difference there between the end of the tribulation in the book of Daniel and when Jesus comes back. And so, what is that time? It's the immediately after the tribulation. So it's the Jew has to wait for Jesus to return. And it looks like he's waiting in darkness. He's waiting in darkness. That's what it looks like, folks. Because the sun and the moon are black immediately after the tribulation. And light doesn't come to the earth again until Jesus comes back. And there's numbers given. Reference numbers given about how long the great tribulation is going to be. There's really no reference to how long the tribulation is going to be in general. We can say it's 7 years, right? But we don't know how much of that has taken place so far. Because there's a time in Acts where it looked like the Holy Spirit was still working. And it wasn't until Stephen was killed that God put off his dealing with that Jew. And he's going to pick it back up again in the tribulation, okay? And that's after the rapture of the church. So we understand those things, and we're just trying to explain the context of Matthew here, Matthew chapter 24 here. So chapter 24, 29 through 51 is immediately after the tribulation. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, and that's found in verse 29. And so last week we saw in verse 40 that those that are taken off this, or those that are taken, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Those that are taken, folks, are taken in death. They don't get to enter into the millennium. Remember, the context of this is the millennium. The tribulation. And so immediately after the tribulation is the millennium. That's where Jesus reigns for 1,000 years. Those that are left get to go into the kingdom. Those that are taken in death. And the Lord explains that in verses 37 through 39. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Where did they take them? They took them in death. The flood took those people in death. Because they weren't alive when Noah got off that boat, folks. The rains drowned all of them. Okay? And when the Lord comes back, those that are not in Christ, I'm sorry, those that have not obeyed the gospel, and those that have not, that don't know God, 2 Thessalonians, they get taken away in death. They go to hell. Okay. So, verse 42. The Bible says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." When are these people supposed to watch? When are they supposed to watch? Verse 33. "So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors." That's when they're to watch. When the sun no longer gives its light, when the moon no longer gives its light, when the stars of heaven withdraw their light, when there is darkness on the earth, they're to watch. What are they looking for? They're looking for the light of the world to come back. They're looking for the sun. S-U-N, you could say, the sun of righteousness. He's going to shine up the world, and everybody's going to know he's coming back. And we went through those verses. Also look, if you would, Luke 21. Luke 21, verses 25. I hope I'm not doing this premature here. Yeah. The Bible says in Luke 21, 25, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations." Why? Because there's darkness. And people go mad when there's darkness. They go mad. They're going to hate the Lord even more because of the darkness. They're not going to repent. If the darkness could have made them repent, they would have. Did I say that wrong? The darkness is meant to get them to repent, but they won't. That's men. They won't repent. Everything that the Lord does in that tribulation, in the great tribulation, is to get them to repent. But they don't. Most don't. Some do. Some do. 25, 26, "Men's hearts failing them for fear." Why? There's no sun anymore. Their gods are gone. What they worshipped are no longer in the sky. "And for looking after these things which are coming of the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see," that's what they're watching for, "the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up." When it's dark, look up. Start watching. That's the time to watch. Because the Lord's coming back. And those that are trusting in the Lord Jesus, those that have believed that gospel, those that have obeyed God and have and know Him, are going to be looking up. And those that don't are going to be eating and drinking and giving in marriage, even still in the darkness. They're not going to care. But that's what the Bible says. When darkness comes to the earth, people better start watching. People better not be giving into the Antichrist at those times. And those that truly believe will be watching and waiting for the Lord to return. Those that just had a form of godliness, they're the ones that are denying the power thereof. They're going to succumb to the cares of this world. Eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. Which there's nothing wrong with those things. The Lord told us that we can do those things. But don't forget God, right? Don't forget God. And so they're going to succumb to the cares of this world, and they're going to be destroyed. And that form of godliness is found in 2 Timothy 3:5. Hebrews talks about these things. Hebrews talks about these things. There's going to be some people, folks, that know they're to believe the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians again. I keep going back to that because you can't refute it. That's at the end of the tribulation when Jesus comes back and he's destroying everybody that doesn't know, doesn't obey that gospel. You can't refute that. I'm sorry, you just can't. There's nowhere in the Bible where you're going to refute that one. Hebrews talks about these things. Look, if you would, Hebrews 10:38. The Bible says, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man fall back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Folks, you could come right up to and fall back. The preaching of the Word of God could get you right there, and you could just turn away and go back. We hear the term fall from grace. He fell from grace. But Galatians 5, look if you were there. Galatians 5. I think it's here. Yeah. "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law." You want to trust in the law? Even in a tribulation, you want to trust in the law? We're not going to be there if you're saved. I'm talking to when I say you, I'm talking to you that's in the tribulation. You want to trust in the law? There's something wrong with this thing. I'm not going to be scared of a mic. I'm sorry, folks. It's not going to get me to jitter. The coffee will, but not that. All right? 5:4. Galatians 5:4. The Bible says, "Christ has become of no effect unto you, whomsoever of you are justified by the law." Yeah, it's written in Galatians. But I'm going to tell you, he's speaking to those everywhere. "Ye are fallen from grace." Hey, you come right up to the preaching of the Word of God, and then somebody deceives you and says, "Oh no, you got to keep the works of the law." Law from grace. "Any man fall back, my soul shall have no pleasure in you." Okay? So I hope we see those things by the Word of God here. Why do they fall back? Does God not have any? His soul shall have no pleasure in them? Because they thought the keeping of the law was the ticket, and they failed to keep the commandment of God to the saving of the soul. That's what it is. The soul doesn't get saved without Jesus Christ. These will be the ones who take the easy road when the darkness comes. When the sun and moon start to go dark, when they don't show they don't show their light anymore, these are going to be the ones who choose the law. Who's going to be teaching works? The Antichrist. He's going to be teaching works there. Folks, it's all right for a man to guide into truth, but you better be relying on the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth. Hey, And look at the Ethiopian eunuch. He says, how can I understand unless some man guide me? Folks, if you don't trust in the Lord to teach you, you can fall prey to anything. Just like people can fall prey in a tribulation. They're going to fall prey to everything. There's going to be this deception, mass deception going on. Why? Because they rejected the Word of God. And if you don't reject the Word of God, you're not going to be deceived. If you rely on God for the truth, you'll never be deceived. Never. But God uses men to deceive people. Yeah, go ahead.
You said they fall back. You're talking about the tribulation.
Yeah. No. You could come right up to the gospel, and somebody can preach to you the death, burial, and resurrection. That's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you could come right up to that and not believe it. Yeah. And not believe it and fall from grace. And in the tribulation, you could come right up to that preaching and fall backwards. Fall from that preaching. And I keep going to 2 Thessalonians, folks, because the Bible's very clear there who and who doesn't get destroyed when Jesus comes back. Very clear. There's no clouds there to blind you. Very, very clear there. Yeah, 2 Thessalonians. It's very, very clear here. Verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven. When's he revealed? When he shows up at the second coming with his mighty angels. When does that happen? Second coming. In flaming fire. What's Jesus a picture of in the second coming? The sun. The sun is a burning fire up there. Taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we all know what it means to obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that is to believe it. Romans 10. What the book of Isaiah says, for they have not all obeyed the gospel. Let's go to Romans real quick. I know it might be confusing but that's very clear there, folks. That's when Jesus is coming back, revealing himself to the world. Okay? Romans 10:16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? They have to believe the gospel. And they're not going to believe the gospel unless they know God. Folks, Romans talks about people. Everybody has some knowledge of God in their life. Everybody. But they chose not to glorify him. They chose not to give him thanks. And they chose not to know him. And when you choose not to know God, God has no choice but to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye cursed, in everlasting fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels. You chose not to know him. Everybody has some knowledge. Romans 1. They relied on man. If you want to rely on man for the truth and not God, especially in a tribulation, you're going to be deceived. I don't care how many masters in theology somebody has. I don't care how many doctorates in theology somebody has. Folks, rely on God. He'll show you the truth. It's very, very clear. He reveals his secrets unto babes. 1 Matthew chapter 43. I got this coffee running through me. I'm all shaky. Matthew 24:43. And we'll keep moving here. I want to get this done. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known and what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Remember when, hey, folks, if you're in darkness, you don't know what time it is. You don't know what time it is. You don't know. You don't know what day it is. You put somebody in a lighted room and take away the sun and the moon and the stars, and he can't keep track of time. He can't keep track of time. The Bible says, but therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Folks, no owner of a house ever knows when a thief is going to break in and steal his stuff. Nobody does. Or he'd prepare and he'd be sitting there waiting. Now, Brother Dave, he camped out at that church until the thief came. And he caught the guy red-handed. Now, that's some funny stuff. But, yeah. But, I mean, because it kept happening. Hey, when you study any type of the human psyche, you know that, hey, if you get away with something one time, you're going to keep doing it until you get caught. And all you have to do is understand that, and you'll catch somebody. But the exception proves the rule. All right? If you know that your house is going to get broken into and the exact time and hour, you're going to be ready for it. Okay? And so, and Jesus tells his disciples that those during that time, immediately after the tribulation, they must be ready for his return. And we're going to read about that in the next chapter with these virgins. But for now, we're going to hold off on that. Verse 45, who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Now, when you read this verse, you can't help but notice in verse 45 here what a servant is. Jesus is very, I mean, in a couple different places where he talks about rulers, he makes it very clear what a ruler really is. And a ruler is somebody that serves. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord had made ruler over his household, to give who? The household. To give them meat in due season. Folks, God's household is the people of the earth. Okay? I'm just going to put that out there. And I hopefully we'll see by the scriptures that prove what I just said there. Okay? His household is the people of the earth. Look, if you would, in Galatians 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. You say, well, the pastor, he's supposed to rule. I'm just telling you what service is, folks, what rulership is. And the Lord has given everybody on the face of this earth rulership. I'm sorry, he has, and we're going to see that. And everybody is to serve everybody. Okay? Do you know what man's problem today is? Man's problem today is that they fail to know God. They willfully choose not to know him, and they have it in their mind that they are to rule over people rather than serving them. That's what people, you look on the jobs, I mean, you go out on the jobs, rarely do you see a servant. Rarely. I mean, in their mind, they're ruling. And you can see by their actions that that's how men think, especially those of the unsaved. But people in rulership positions are more interested in ruling than serving. They want to be served instead of being the one that is serving. That's what people are. That's how they are. Folks, you want to know what a great example of a servant is? You look at Jesus Christ. You know, we keep pointing to Jesus Christ because there's no flaw in him. None. None. He's the perfect example. What did he do? He's the creator of everything. What did he do? He humbled himself, the Bible says. And he took upon himself the form of a servant. Now think about that for a second. Who did God form out of the dust of the earth? He formed man. Look, if you would, Philippians. Philippians 2:7. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in likeness of man. Folks, every man, every woman on the face of this earth is a servant. God has given him rulership over this earth. I'm sorry, that's what he did in the garden. Gave man dominion. And every man is a servant. And they're supposed to have that mind in them, that they're to serve one another. Okay? And so every man is a servant. And every man should be serving others and not themselves. What did he do? He died for all. What is a servant supposed to do? I'm not saying he's to die, okay? Would I die for somebody else? I'm supposed to be able to die for my wife, okay? But would I die for Brother Mike? I don't know. Would I die for Brother Graves? I don't know. Maybe I would die for you. I don't know. I don't know, folks. You don't know until you get to that point, if you would. But I know somebody who died for everybody, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, he died so that everybody could be benefited. But that's what a servant's supposed to do, to give the household meat in their season. And he helped when there was nobody to help. Jesus walked by, he saw the condition of his neighbor. He was in the form of man. Every human being, every man and woman on this face of this earth was Jesus Christ's neighbor. Look, if you would, in Luke. Great picture here. Luke 10. And we're almost done. I thought I was going to get through 2.5 pages and have 10, 15 minutes to spare. Luke 10. That's why I said it was a short message. Usually I come here with 5 pages. Luke 10, verse 30. The Bible says, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem. He's talking to this to a man who is he's asking about his neighbor. I think he was a scribe. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell amongst thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Folks, you know what sin has left you? Sin has left you in a bad condition. And folks, if it wasn't for the Good Samaritan, if it wasn't for Jesus coming by and seeing you in that bad condition and helping you, you'd be dead. But he left him half dead. And Jesus answered and said, okay, and by chance there came down a certain priest. Man isn't going to help you. The clergy isn't going to help you. He saw him, and he walked on the other side of the street. Why? Because if he would have walked near him, the guy would have probably cried out for help. Certain, likewise, a Levite, another religious person. Religious men, folks, can't help you. Jesus can help you. And the Catholics need to understand that. Don't count on that priest. Because when he really sees your condition, he's running the other way. Great picture, though. Here's but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came there. He was where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. What did Jesus do? He had compassion on the multitudes, folks. Compassion. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. That's what a servant does. That's what a servant does. That's what Jesus Christ did. He made it to work. Every man could benefit from what he did on that cross. Everyone. Well, we got to hurry. I'm almost done. Chapter 24, verse 48. Verse 47. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over house. Okay, so blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. But notice what he was finding him doing. He was faithful and a wise servant. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over his goods, over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servant. Notice he's fighting his fellow servant. And to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. All men are servants, folks. And by reading verse 48, you see that there's two classifications of those servants. One of them is a faithful and wise servant, and one of them is an evil servant. And what does the evil servant do? He serves himself. The faithful and wise servant, he's got somebody to believe in, somebody to look up to. Jesus. He's a faithful. And in the tribulation, he helps when he sees somebody in need. He helps them. Somebody that doesn't have Jesus Christ is not believing on him, and he's only caring about himself. Okay? So, anyway, I have to stop there. I have to stop there. The Lord is a good God, and we'll try to finish that up. I don't want to. I thought I was going to finish chapter 24 this week, but we'll have a little bit of it next week, and then we'll roll right into chapter 25. How about that? Okay, we'll go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for what you did on the cross for our sins. What a great thing! What a great picture of a servant you are, and we need to get that in our minds, Lord, and understand that we're to serve others. We're not to serve ourselves. And the higher positions up in life we go, the more of a servant we need to be. And we pray that we would just keep that in mind as we walk through life, Lord, and walk with you, and better learn to walk with you, and better learn to be a servant to others. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.